Welcome to the Commercial Real Estate Investing from A to Z podcast, named one of the best commercial real estate podcasts by Business Insider. I'm your host, Steph Baldrini. We review all aspects of commercial real estate investing and bring the top people in the industry to share their best tips and lessons learned. And in today's episode, we are learning how to add new income streams to most commercial asset classes. We are chatting with Joseph Woodbury, founder of Neighbor. Here we go. Joseph, thank you so much for joining us today. We have used you guys before, and I thought it would be a great opportunity to have you come over and explain what you guys do, because other investors could also benefit from it. But first, why don't you tell us a little bit about you?
Yeah, thanks for having me on. So yeah, I'm the CEO and founder of a company called Neighbor. We're a peer-to-peer storage marketplace. So we allow people that have space to list that on our platform, and then we rent it out for storage or vehicle storage or parking. And we're now in all 50 states, almost every city in all 50 states. So it's nationwide. And we work with both residential space and commercial space.
So if somebody has a garage that they're not using, they could rent that out, and it could be beneficial for the person renting as well, in case it's closer to their home. But also for businesses where if they have vacant land or a property that they're not really using, or a lot of parking space. But are there any other use cases that you focus on?
Yeah, you touched on the main ones. On the residential side, it's going to be an empty garage, a driveway, a shed. On the commercial side, it's going to be different by asset class. You know, retail may have vacant suites that they've struggled to rent out that will rent out for storage. Multifamily may have storage lockers that were built inside for their tenants, but that, you know, maybe they're 25% occupied, so we rent them out to the community. And then, of course, all properties tend to have some sort of parking requirement that the city made them build X number of parking stalls, and we're able to take those out, whether in a lot or a parking garage, and rent those out for vehicle storage.
Okay. And what kind of fees do you guys charge? Let's touch on that and how it benefits the property owner.
Yeah, so we only make money when our partners make money. We don't charge any sort of like upfront or recurring fee that way. Free to use the service. And then just like an Airbnb or other marketplace, we'll take whatever you decide to charge as a host, and we'll charge the renter a service fee on top of that. And that's where our money comes from, is that service fee that gets charged to the renter.
Yep. And is what, 30% or so?
It actually is a sliding scale take rate based on the size of the dollar amount of the rental. So for smaller rentals, you know, if it's $30 a month, we're going to take a high percentage. We're going to attack a high percentage take rate on top in order to make the money that we need to, versus, you know, we have some spaces that rent out for thousands of dollars a month. We're going to take a very low percentage take rate on top of that. So just, it varies by the amount. But again, very similar to what you'd see on Airbnb, where it kind of slides based on the amount of the reservation.
Oh, Airbnb slides? I was not aware of that. I thought they were a flat fee.
Yeah.
As a potential renter renting from somebody else, I think that the biggest thing would be a homeowner maybe taking some items. How do you address that?
Well, first, you know, I'd say our platform generally offers safer spaces than traditional self-storage. I think the break-in rate of traditional self-storage is like 1 in 10 facilities every year is broken into. And that's largely because of where they're located. They're all located in these industrial parks on the outskirts of town. Whereas the space we're renting out is in residential neighborhoods or in business districts that are just much safer areas. According to FBI stats, it's something like residential areas are something like 10 or 15x safer. In addition, we provide a lot of protection. So our hosts get $1 million liability guarantee for running their business. Every renter has to submit every item that they're going to be storing, so that can be reviewed by the hosts. We offer the best property protection plans of any storage company in the country. I think we're the only one that will offer you up to $50,000 in protection for everything that you store on our platform. And so we just try to, that's our job as a marketplace. Obviously, we're kind of known as being a storage company, but at the end of the day, we don't sell storage. Our hosts sell storage, our partners sell storage. And we as a marketplace, we sell trust, right? That's our job, is to make it as safe and as trustworthy a transaction as possible.
Okay. How long have you guys been in business?
We started about 7 years ago.
Awesome.
Yeah, so a while now.
So how have you guys scaled operations to, you know, cater to your partners that are listing their spaces with you guys?
Yeah, so it's very much scaling the technology. The value of the platform is the value of the tools that we provide. And so every year we're trying to think, how can we make this more of a passive income experience for our hosts? Because that is one of our differentiating factors. If you think of other marketplaces, you know, in order to make money on Uber, you have to, there's labor involved. You have to go drive around, or Instacart or DoorDash, or, you know, you have to work for the income that you earn. Even Airbnb tends to have a decent amount of management and turnover and customers. Oftentimes management companies are hired. Neighbor, on the other hand, is the first platform where, like, we can bring you a renter, and that you're going to get a payment from that renter every month without doing much of anything. So it's very passive income. One of the things we've thought about, to answer your question about scale, is the further along in the business we've gotten, the bigger and bigger hosts have started to use the platform, to where today we have hosts that may own a $30 billion real estate portfolio across the country, you know, office or retail or multifamily. And so they're listing lots of space on our platform in you know, maybe 100 cities. And the tools required to manage that amount of space are very different than the tools required to manage a driveway or a garage. And so building more robust payment systems to work with any sort of, like, large enterprises, custom payment systems, building tools to where you can actually almost SaaS type tools where you can see the layout of hundreds of spaces and assign renters to different spaces. We actually have this really cool tool called Blueprint for large owners of land, where you're actually able to pull up a satellite view of your space, and we will actually help you lay out the vehicle storage spaces. You can have a spot for RV parking, you know, a spot for boat parking, a spot for vehicle parking. We have a whole software tool that will just help you lay that out and know what to charge for each space at scale. So it's things like that. When we think about scaling, it's how do you manage more and more spaces without adding a tax to your day-to-day productivity?
Okay. So do you think you're going to be focusing more on individuals versus individuals and property owners?
Yeah, for the first 3 or 4 years of the business, we focused largely on residential. And again, we got that to, you know, we have residential hosts earning money in pretty much every city in the country, all the major cities, but also, like, cities of 2,000 people. We'll have hosts there earning money because no one even justifies building a storage facility there, but we can acquire hosts and they can make money. And that's largely a motion now. Those people earn money, they tell their friends about it. So the focus of the business right now very much is on the commercial side. And that's where we're seeing a lot of scale success. Is it turns out a lot of these portfolios, if we can earn them seven figures in annual ancillary income, that makes a big difference, especially because it's pure NOI. It doesn't come with any additional expenses. It just flows right down to the bottom line. If they're a real estate private equity group, that makes their IRR look a lot more attractive.
Mm-hmm.
If they're more of a traditional REIT, that helps them hit revenue targets and helps their ancillary income teams, you know, hit their bonuses and things like that. So that's where the focus is. There's some macro trends there as well. Office is the obvious one, where that industry is just in a really weird spot right now. where vacancies are very high, historic highs, and that space is starting to be repurposed. The initial thought, I think, for a lot of office providers was office to resi, residential, but I think most people are finding office buildings don't convert well. The plumbing, right. The building structure, it's next to impossible.
Mm-hmm.
So they're looking for lower cost conversion alternatives in industries with strong demand, and storage, you know, it's the highest occupancy rate of any real estate asset class. So it makes a great candidate. And then, you know, while office has experienced abnormal trends, all the asset classes are experiencing the effect of interest rates. So like multifamily, if you built a multifamily, even if you're successful and you're all the way leased up, with interest rates and variable term loans, you know, coming up, you may be underwater on an otherwise successful property.
Mm-hmm.
And if we can come in and provide that extra ancillary income, all of a sudden, when you were looking at a 1% year-over-year growth year, you're able to achieve 5% or whatever, and it makes the difference.
Mm-hmm. Can you share maybe an example of a REIT or a larger investor that has onboarded some properties with Neighbor, and how did that go?
I'll give a couple examples across different industries. You know, in the retail space, we work with a group called Federal Realty, one of the largest owners of retail space in the country, both on the East Coast and the West Coast. We onboarded them. Again, we work with them both the suites that struggle to rent. We'll rent those out for self-storage, and also the parking, you know, in a strip mall, there's always that parking in the back that just
nobody parks on.
Nobody parks on.
Yeah.
We've rolled out nationwide with them. On the multifamily side, an example of one of the many multifamily groups we work with is one of the largest owners in the country, a group called Equity Residential. And same thing, you know, and it varies by property. Some properties, they have 20 different vacant parking stalls. Some properties, they have 5. But at every property, they have some, and it's all income. And those properties get leased up very fast. You know, if I look at properties that onboarded, you know, they get up to 75, 80% occupancy quickly. And then when you add on the interior self-storage opportunity where, you know, at Equity Residential, they built storage units in all of their multifamily complexes nationwide for their tenants as a tenant amenity. And it turns out that if you talk to most owners of multifamily in the country, those are generally occupied at about 25 to 30% occupancy. Mm-hmm. And storage nationwide has a 90, 95% occupancy rate. So you can really bridge that gap. If they onboard the remaining ones onto our platform, we can get them to 90, 95% occupancy through the community. It's great for them. It's great for the community. Kind of everyone's happy.
Awesome. Well, this has been very helpful. Is there anything else that you think is important for our audience to know?
You know, I think we talked about some of the trends, and historically, I think property owners were very asset class focused, and, you know, anything outside of that was viewed as a distraction. I think the property owners that are winning today are those that have a more full property monetization mindset, where they think in terms of, I own a property, I want to make as much NOI off of that property as I possibly can. I don't really care where it comes from. I want to maximize NOI. And especially in high interest rates environments, you're seeing some property owners right now, they just can't get creative, and they're literally walking away from mm-hmm. some buildings where they could hang on to those, and they're going to come out 5 years from now. The ones that hang on to their assets are going to come out 5 years from now way ahead of every other asset owner because they didn't take a loss during this down period.
Yep, that is very true. We've got to be creative and adapt.
That's right.
How can our listeners get in touch with you?
We tried to make it as easy as possible. We're neighbor.com. You can also email us. If you're a commercial property owner, you can email myself, joseph@neighbor.com, or you can email our head of commercial real estate partnerships, Sky, sky@neighbor.com, SKYE@neighbor.com. And we can help you get set up and onboard your portfolio.
Awesome. Well, this has been wonderful, Joseph. Thank you so much. I really appreciate your time.
Yeah, thanks to you.
And if you haven't already, make sure to subscribe to our newsletter at MonteCarloREI.com on top of the page. And I will see you next time.